Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. On the show today, we have IT Group's Julie Conway talking about her latest report, Digital Channel Fraud Mitigation, the Mobile Force. So check it out. So if you could just give us a quick 411, give us a quick summary on what this one's all about, because it's your neck of the woods, the fraud mitigation stuff. So we're always happy to talk to you about this stuff.
Absolutely. So I spent the last 3 months or so talking to fraud executives from 19 of the biggest banks in North America, looking to understand, you know, how are the bad guys compromising the online and mobile channels today? Mm-hmm. You know, what are the pain points? How are they protecting themselves and their customers? And how is that going to evolve over the next couple of years?
Right. And so what's going on? You one of the main focuses of the report, that the mobile device is taking a bigger role in fraud prevention. How's this working? And if you have any examples, that would be huge.
Absolutely. Well, in honor of the upcoming Star Wars movie, we are saying that the mobile force is going to awaken this year.
Right.
And what that means is we all are carrying around these powerful little devices with us now. Mm-hmm. Over 65% of the North American population has a smartphone.
Okay.
And so financial institutions are looking to take advantage of that fact, mm-hmm. reinforce the security in their mobile apps, better know, is this device belonging to my customer? Mm-hmm. Is my customer the one actually transacting on this device right now? Mm-hmm. And so then they can use the knowledge of that device not only to better protect transactions in the mobile channel itself, mm-hmm. but then use that device as an authenticator in every other channel.
Oh, nice.
And so you can actually start to, because of this knowledge of the device, because the consumer has this device with them, you can actually start performing stepped down authentication and remove friction from the user experience, as opposed to what we've been doing over the past few years and just continuing to add layers of stepped up authentication.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because there's this fine line of providing a really cool service, but you also have to have all these layers of protecting yourself against the fraudsters, which kind of makes the whole process sometimes cumbersome. So it's kind of like you're whittling it down to where at one point it'll be just a really cool, seamless experience with lots of protection. That's my hope. And I think a lot of other people's hope as well.
That is absolutely the goal. And as I did talk to a lot of these fraud executives, the good news was for a lot of these banks, because they have been applying layers of security, they have actually seen fraud losses start to come down over the last few years.
Very nice.
But that doesn't mean that the bad guys are going to stop with their attempts. And it also, as we do things like move to chip card, what we've seen in other countries like Canada is that online and mobile losses actually go up sharply because, these criminal rings aren't going to sit back and take a hit to their P&L. They shift their tactics. They go in other directions, which means we really do need to continue focusing on better fraud prevention in those remote channels.
Yeah, because you mentioned there that we're kind of in like a happy time right now because there's a million apps out. Well, I don't say a million. That's a big word. But I mean, there's a lot of apps out there that are protecting us from these fraudsters, and they keep developing them and trying to keep one step ahead of these guys that are. I keep saying it's not just some random person in a basement somewhere trying to hack into your credit union. It's like a big crime network syndicate conglomeration that they're very sophisticated, and trying to stay one step ahead of these folks is quite a challenge.
It is a huge challenge. And even though many of the FIs I spoke with are kind of in this happy time where they've seen some decreasing losses, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that the criminal rings are out there getting day jobs. They are continuing to succeed by adjusting tactics. So we have seen that they are focusing on smaller institutions like credit unions. Mm-hmm. They're also taking their attacks up the chain, and they are attacking small and medium-sized businesses directly.
Oh, really?
And we don't see these attacks hit the headlines because at the end of the day, the losses are entirely the fault of that small to medium-sized business whose email got hacked, mm-hmm. or they got socially engineered. And one of the most common threat vectors that we're seeing is the CEO of a small business, his email gets compromised.
Right.
The CFO the next day gets an email purportedly from a CEO, mm-hmm. saying, please send $70,000 to our new vendor.
Great.
And they're keeping the dollar amounts within a reasonable range.
Yeah.
And sometimes the CFO is smart. He calls up the CEO and says, really? Do you want to do this? And realizes that, no, this wasn't the CEO. But all too often, the CFO is just acting, or the controller.
Mm-hmm.
And then the wire goes out, and the business is out, loses the money.
Right.
Sometimes the FI has some good behavioral analytics in the background that can catch these attacks,
mm-hmm.
And when the FI does call up and you know let the small business know that they've been duped, mm-hmm. they're now the hero. They've got a customer for life.
No doubt.
But it's still, I mean, there's millions of dollars of losses being taken across all of the FIs I spoke with because, you know, again, the bad guys adjust their tactics mm-hmm. and they go to the weakest link in the chain, which right now is the small to medium-sized businesses.
Yeah, and if it's not a $500 million or $1 billion data breach, you know, it's not going to make the big headlines like you talked about. If it's a $70,000 you know, scam or a $50,000 scam, that's not going to make the headlines. That's kind of working below the radar, but you put enough of those together, that's quite a chunk of money.
It is. And for the financial services industry, it's death by a thousand cuts, or the small businesses that are actually taking the losses.
Yep, indeed. So how long do you think this happy time is going to take place? Because now, I mean, it seems like, you know, when the economy's good, you know, that's the time for like marketing to ramp up and get your name out there while things are great and everything. So it sounds like while we're in this happy time, now's a really good time to really ramp up your fraud protection. Is that probably a good idea, I would think?
Without question. And of the FIs I spoke with, even though they are seeing losses on the decline for the most part, right. many of them are planning to increase their spending on online and mobile fraud prevention. Yeah, a third of the folks I spoke with are increasing their spending by 20% or more over the next couple of years.
Wow.
So significant increases, and you know, there's a few drivers of that. It's to have better controls that can reduce the friction and make it, you know, a more seamless type of interaction, mm-hmm. recognizing that banks aren't just competing against each other. Mm-hmm. They are now competing against the likes of Apple for the user experience. This is the user experience people expect. And so banks are really trying to raise the bar, be secure, but also not be so cumbersome and clunky. We're also seeing if there's a cool factor. Yeah, those are the types of things that are garnering the investments. So if you can log into your mobile app with your fingerprint instead of typing in all those little things, mm-hmm. you know, we're six of the FIs I spoke with are enabling that mobile app login with their fingerprint this year.
Love it.
Yeah, I know, it's gonna be great. So we're gonna continue to see spending, and also with the realization that, you know, we've got chip cards coming to the US. Mm-hmm. We've got increasingly consumers are demanding the same type of experience that they get online on their mobile device. We're seeing things like online wires being pushed out to not only the PC environment, but also the mobile environment. Mm-hmm. And so all of that increase in risk will drive increase in losses unless you put some compensating controls out there.
Yeah, it sounds like you gotta be proactive in this whole thing, not reactive, because if you're reacting, it's already too late.
Without question, because you know, these organized crime rings, they are well-funded, they're smart, they're innovative, and they don't have to make a business case to unleash their latest round of attacks.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, to wrap up here, Julie, I mean, where can folks find out more about this stuff? I mean, because we talk on an annual basis, and it's never, I mean, we talk about different types of fraud and all that type and how to protect it, but it's never, I don't think it's ever going to go away. So, I mean, what's an overall strategy, again, to be proactive in this and just kind of stay on top of it, I guess?
It is. Fraud prevention is all about the journey, because there will never be a destination, and it's great job security for people like me.
Of course. No wonder it's so much fun.
Yeah, we are always looking at this stuff. So if they want to go to itegroup.com, AITEgroup.com, they can find out more.
Excellent. Great. We will send them there in the show notes. Going to put a little link there and they can get to it directly and check it out for themselves. Julie, always a pleasure. Look forward to talking to you again when the fraud is changing and what's going on. So we always enjoy talking to you because you got the latest and greatest news. So thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Good to speak with you, Mike.
Indeed.